everybody. Jeff Jones here. Welcome to the weekly Chase Oaks Church podcast. Before we dive in, I want to encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel and download the Chase Oaks Church app. The app is the best place to catch up on messages, engage with our community, and stay in the loop with everything going on around here. Most importantly, my hope is that today's message inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey. Here we go.
Wow. Thank you guys for singing with us, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to be here and to sing with this amazing worship team. Oh my gosh. So glad to be here and excited that you're here, excited for everybody who's watching online. Man, what an awesome opportunity we have to gather together, to be encouraged by one another, to be strengthened by one another in community, and to hear the word of God to bring us life and encouragement in our lives. So I'm excited to be here, and happy Mother's Day to all the moms. Come on, mamas. We got all kind of mamas in here. We got auntie mamas. We got spiritual mamas. We have sister mamas. We got neighbor mamas. You know, if you grew up anyway like I did, the lady across the street, she had permission to whoop you if you acted up, and she had permission to do everything. So you had mamas everywhere. So I just want to celebrate all the mothers in the room today, and all those who are still waiting on God to move in that area. I'm praying for you. We're trusting in God to do His will in all of our lives. And I love being a mother. I've been a mother now for 30 years. I can't believe it. Oh, it's a long time. But now, it's my favorite part is I get to be an AMA. Y'all know I get to be a grandma. And so I figured I would show you a few of my baby's pictures. These are, I call them B3. That's Bryce, Blair, and Beautiful. Beautiful is the baby girl. Oh my God, she's a mess. They're all a mess. They're just a mess. But I love them. They're my mess. Those are my oldest son, he and his wife, Gabby. Those are their children. And then my youngest son, Joseph and Mariah, they have Ava and Mateo. I call them Tato Bug. That's my baby. They're the thumb suckers in the family. And I don't mind. I never pull that thumb out because it's helpful in times of need. So I don't trip about that. But I could not let this day go past and not honor even the fact that I'm a mother. And because I was going to be here this weekend, my boys took me out to dinner last night. And so we got a chance to hang out. That is my son Christopher and my son Joseph. And they have been the joy of my life. I was a single mom. And so I didn't get married till my youngest son, I think, was 21 years old. So I was a single parent for 23 years. So a big special shout out from me to all the single moms in the room. You guys do amazing work, and I'm so honored to know you and to be here today. So happy Mother's Day. Man, we all know that parenting is extremely difficult. If you didn't know, you learned it the first night your baby got here and they sent you home from the hospital. You're like, wait, what? I got to take care of him myself. Where's the nurse coming in to nurse this baby? We all know that parenting is a challenge and it's difficult. And you guys have been in this series called The Reddit Hole. And one of the big questions that we always often have is, how do I be a good parent? You know, none of my kids came with a manual. None of them did. And so being a parent is a challenge. And all around us, there's so many opinions around. There's so many people who want to tell us how to be a parent. You know, one of the first books that I got when I had my children was What to Expect When You're Expecting. That was the first book somebody gave me. And I read every nook and cranny of that book. Why? Because I wanted to be a good mother. I did not want to fail at parenting my children. And it's so funny, we get these books and we get all the advice, and everybody has their advice about how to do what you need to do about your kid. Everybody, and they so willingly share, you don't even have to ask them. They just automatically just open their mouth. Oh, you know what you should do about this? Oh, you know what you shouldn't do that. You know, all the different things. And you're just like, oh my gosh, if you all don't just, it's so much coming at us. But every one of us want to be a good or better parent in general. And so when I was preparing for this message, you know, you're talking about parenting, since we're this weekend, we decided to kind of dive into how do I be a good parent? And so I did something that everybody's doing these days, and we always do this when you ask that question. Anytime you're a parent or anytime you have a challenge, you do what? You go to Google. You Google it. You know, so I went to Google, and you know, now my computer has this thing. And I didn't even ask my computer to start doing this, but all of a sudden, AI showed up on my computer. And it's like you ask a question, and then AI has this synopsis, this big summary right at the top, trying to make my life easier. you know? And so I pulled up, I was like, okay, so what were the popular parenting advice for 2025? And this is what AI told me. It said, in 2025, popular parenting advice revolves around prioritizing family time, managing screen time, fostering healthy habits, and cultivating emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. Additionally, encouraging active living, creating consistent sleep routines, promoting independence, and connecting with nature are also now trending. This is what AI's advice is. And many of us may feel like, okay, those are all great things. You know, that sounds about right. I think I can do this. But I was curious as to what the popular advice was maybe, let's say, 100 years ago. So I went back to 1925, and I asked AI, what was the popular parenting advice in 1925? It says, the parenting advice then, it emphasized discipline, order, and structured child rearing. Parents were expected to enforce rules and train children early to fit in with parental expectations. It sounds kind of different, doesn't it? Discipline was a top priority, and physical punishment was sometimes considered a valid way to correct behavior. And so this is what we got in 1925. So it's so clear, even with looking at that, to see how there is this vast difference between even over 100 years. There is advice that has always been coming. And so the last question I asked it was, what was the most consistent parenting advice between those 100 years? And it said, being present, providing structure and boundaries, and modeling desired behavior. And so all of this is absolutely excellent information. And there are hundreds of thousands of books that have been written down through the years about how to be a great parent. But in a world like ours, with so many opinions about parenting, the biggest question I think a lot of us ask is that how can we be confident that we're parenting in a way that God is pleased with? For those of us who are following Christ, we want to make sure that we're parenting God's way. And I have to tell you the truth, even there's been various opinions about that. Even with the scriptures and what the Bible says and what's the Christian way to raise your children. And so as I explored that question, the first thing that came to me, and I really wanted to kind of simplify this question for us, because there's 1,000 ways we can parent. And so I wanted to kind of make it simple. And the first scripture that came to my mind was this basic, simple truth. It's to go to the scriptures. The Bible. You know that song we learned, the B-I-B-L-E? Yes, that's the book for me. I'm stand alone on the word of God. Y'all know the song, I love it. This is our life book. This is the book by which we are supposed to live our entire lives and including our parenting. So the first scripture that came to me was 2 Timothy 3:16. And it says that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so if this is true, then the Bible is always our anchor. It's always our compass in whatever we're trying to do, parenting included. And so having laid that as a foundation, if we can all agree as followers of Christ that this is the foundation that we're starting with, that the scriptures is our anchor, that this is where we start, what does the Bible say about parenting? And so I want to take a look at one of the most popular parenting scriptures in the Bible, Proverbs 22:6. And it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I looked it up in various translations. The NLT says, direct your children onto the right path, and when he is old, he will not stray from it. The NIV says, start children off on the way they should go. And the Message actually said, point your kids in the right direction. And what I found as a common denominator with all of those translations of the Bible, what was the same throughout was the words train, direct, start off, point out. And so that gives us a level of responsibility. And so I looked up the word train. It says train up a child. What does train mean? This is how I think when I'm thinking about how I trained my children. What does train mean? And I looked up, and in Hebrew, I can't pronounce the word. It's like hanak. I can't say it. Hanak. It means to narrow. It means literally to narrow, to make submissive. It actually, it gives a description of a bit being put in the horse of the mouth of a horse to train. And that might not even sound kind to most people when they use that. When I read it in the commentary, I was like, on the dictionary, I was like, really? Like a muzzle? Like, muzzle? Really, you want me to put a bit in my kid's mouth? But think about it. We train them. We have to give them guidance and direction because I think we can all agree that they come out wild. Don't they? If you can tame a horse, you probably need to tame a child. I'm just saying. And so as one does this, it's a very powerful picture of what it means to train our children. And it said narrow. The word narrow stood out. To train is to narrow. Why is narrowing necessary? Well, at first thought, you realize because there's so many directions that a kid can go. There's so many directions that a person can go. And it reminded me of the Sermon on the Mount. In chapter 7, the Sermon on the Mount is chapter 6 through 7 in Matthew. And in chapter 7, verse 13, Jesus is teaching, and he says this. He says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate, and what? Narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." That scripture has always been fascinating to me. Broad is the path that leads to destruction, but narrow is the road that leads to life. And when I consider our culture right now, when we say our culture is broad, or narrow? Is our culture, do whatever you want, figure it out, make up your own mind, you do what you want to do? Or is it narrow? And no, these are some truths. These are some rock solid foundational things that everyone should be doing. And so why is this important? Because we have all these books and we have blogs and we have influencers and we have people. And I have to be honest, I'm guilty of it too. I have people I like to follow. I have influencers. Once my kids left, I could care less about what somebody wanted to say about parenting. I was done. It was like a wrap for me. But once the grandkids came, now I'm like, oh, I want to be the best grandma. Like, how do you be the best grandma? But that was pressure. That was pressure to be the best grandmother, especially because my grandkids have another grandmother. There's competition here. I'm just saying. And whenever one of my granddaughters, anytime she's at my house, my name is Ama, and her other grandma's name is Honey. And anytime she's at my house and I say no, or you can't do something, or no, Ama's not, no, I told you not to do that, no, we're not going to watch that, no, it's time to go to bed, I want to go to Honey house. I want to go to Honey house. And in my mind, I'm like, well, go to Honey's house. I don't care, you know. But it's pressure. It's pressure to be the best. And so there's so many opinions, and I started scrolling again about parenting things because I want to give wisdom to my daughter-in-laws and just all these things, and they're sending me information. But honestly, it can be extremely overwhelming. It's like, which path is the right path? It's so easy to be distracted. But as followers of Jesus, parents should narrow your guidance to what aligns with our life book, which is the Bible. Our guidance should be narrow to what aligns with the Word of God. So training is necessary. And how do we do that? Well, as followers of Jesus, it says train up a child in the way that they should go. And so there's three things. I want to try to make this as simple as possible. There's three things that I want to give you encouragement in that I extracted from the scriptures that I feel like are just basic foundational things. If we can lock these three things in, I believe that God will direct us all in our parenting and grandparenting and auntieing and whoever you're raising, foster parenting. I believe if we lock these three things in, that God will give us the wisdom that we need to parent His way. And the first thing is this: acknowledge that your children are not yours. They don't belong to you. They don't belong to me. Psalm 127:3, it says, children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. And heritage means a possession. It means a property. It means the inheritance of. Children are given to us by God. They are not ours. We get a season of stewardship. And that is so important to lock in, especially for those of us who are mamas. Sometimes daddies are like, when are you leaving? When are you getting out of here? But mamas, we like to cling. We like to hold on. No, my baby can't go. You don't even want him to go away to college. No, stay here. Don't you want to live here? I was not that mama. I was like, when can I pack your bags? Like, I was, get out. But we like to cling. And in the Old Testament, an inheritance was something that was a possession that was passed on in order to perpetuate legacy. But in the kingdom of God, an inheritance are children, and they're gifted to us by God to perpetuate the kingdom of God. That is why they are given to us. That is the focus of our parenting. It's kind of challenging, but it matters. Your locking that in truly does matter. My son, my oldest son, like I said, I was a single mom and I raised them by myself, alone but not alone. You know, I had help and parents and uncles and aunties, and I'm so grateful for them, my church family. Everybody kind of helped. It does take a village. But my oldest son, when he was about 13, they were in this program that gave us just some high school options for minority students. There's a lot of money out there for minority students to go to school. I didn't know this. And so I'm sitting in this meeting, and this guy is talking about boarding school. And when I grew up, boarding school was for bad kids. That's what I thought anyway. But they were talking about boarding school, and my son didn't say much about it, but his best friend wanted to go visit the school, but he wouldn't go unless Christopher went to visit with him. And so his mom asked, and we go to visit this school. And I'm in my mind, you're absolutely not going. You just, there's no way you're going to go there. First of all, it's expensive. I can't afford for you to go to that school, and you my child. You're supposed to be here. I need to watch you. I got to keep eyes on you. And so we go to visit this school, and the moment we drive on the campus, there's these kids sliding down this water slide into a pool. And so we get to our tour, and my son asked the tour guide, he's like, hey, what were those kids doing on the water slide getting into the pool? And he said, that was sixth grade physical education class. And my son was like, I am in. Send me to this school right now. And I was like, oh, gosh. And then he would not let it rest. The tour was wonderful. I got to say, it was an impressive school. And I was just adamant, like, no, you're not going. And my son was like, I am going to this school. I am praying that God would make a way for me to go to this school. I don't know if my son ever prayed before that day, but he prayed. And he was praying diligently. And I was almost fighting him in prayer, like, you want to go? I don't want you to go. And it got to the point where one day we were having a conversation about it, and I promise you, this is fact. I was talking to the Lord about it. I was like, why does he want to go to this school so much? It just wouldn't shake me. And I felt like God told me in my heart, who are you to tell me he can't go? If that's what I want for him, who are you to tell me that he can't go? And I was floored. It was the first time I realized that this kid is not mine. That I didn't create him with a purpose. God did. God gave him a purpose. God knew his end from the beginning. God knew what his future would be. And so I said, you know what? Okay, Lord, if you want him to go, if this is your will, I surrender. You got to open the door. You got to get him in. And you got to pay for it because I can't do it. And y'all know what? God did just that. And I dropped my teenage 14-year-old son off at a boarding school at 14. 14, and he's never lived with me since then. And I knew it the moment I was leaving that parking lot. Y'all, I dropped him off. I got his little room ready. I set him up. I got his food. I did all the things like he's going to college, but he's 14. And he's sitting there. He had gone to the summer camp and the little band camp, and so he had already made friends, and he was ready to go, and I'm sitting in there like, I can't leave. Like, I can't do this. And he's like, well, Mom. And I'm like, what? You want to go get something to eat? Like, what? He's like, my friends are waiting on me. I was like, okay. He gave me a hug. I get to my car, and I literally got to the gate of the school, and I pulled over, and I cried for 30 minutes. And in that moment, I really believe God told me he's never coming back home. Thank you for trusting me. Our kids don't belong to us. Your children have a future that God knows the pathway to. And in order to parent them God's way, you have to be willing to let them go. You have to be willing to say, you know what, Lord, if you want them to go to this school, okay, fine. If you want them to take this path, my son went to school and became a musician and said, I want to be an actor when I grow up. Really? How many people make it acting? Like, how many? You want to major in musical theater? Seriously? I got fussed at by his grandmother. Like, how are you? I mean, everybody got on me about sending this boy away to school for letting him major in musical theater. But guess what? He's an actor, and I don't pay for none of his bills. God knew where he was going. And what would have happened had I been adamant about, no, he belongs to me. He's mine. This is my kid. We cannot do that. God knows where they're going. And I don't know what that looks like for you, but you have to guide them in the path that they should go, recognizing their gifts and their talents and their abilities, and recognizing that God has a plan. And the moment we take our hands off God's plan, we become parents that God can use to steer our children in the right direction. Amen? So acknowledge that your kid isn't yours. Number two, parent on purpose. Parent on purpose. And parenting on purpose requires two things. It requires intentionality and discipline. Intentionality and discipline. When it comes to intentionality, parents with the end goal in mind. And what does that look like? What is your end goal for your child, for your children? Have you thought about it? What is the end goal? What do I want really for my children? What is the vision or the mission statement for my parenting? What do I want my kid to leave here doing or being? And for many of us, that could be, you know, anything. Practically, you know, I hear a lot of parents say, I just want my kid to be happy. I just want them to be happy. I want them to be prosperous. I want them to be financially prosperous and emotionally healthy and secure and live a good life. These are the things that I want for my kid. And that is so great. That is wonderful. But have you thought about spiritually what your goal is for your child? Because if we acknowledge that these children belong to God, and as followers of Jesus, we've been given a responsibility to make what of our children? In Matthew 28, Jesus tells us when he's ascending into heaven after he's been resurrected, what does he tell the disciples and all of them that were following him? He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. And then he gives us a command. Go into all the world and what? Make disciples. And then he said, teaching them to obey everything that I have taught you. If you don't know what your spiritual goal is for your child, I just told you, make disciples. Make disciples of your children. My goal for my kids, I used to tell them, I said, I want you to love and serve God. I want you to be able to take care of yourself and take care of your family. That's all I got. But ultimately, I want you to love and serve God. I want you to know who Jesus is. I want you to be able to know and stand on the firm foundation of Christ in a world that is going to continually be more and more less like him. We have to make disciples of our children. When it says in Proverbs, and back to our original text, it says, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he's old, he won't depart from it. In the way. What does that look like? In the way that he should go. Let's be clear. Our kids don't know the way. They don't know. But the question is, do you know the way? Do you know the way to teach them? Are you a disciple of Jesus? Not just a follower. But are you a disciple of Jesus? Are you walking so closely behind the Father and learning from him and pulling from him and drawing from him that you are just so covered in who God is that you are passing that then on to your children? Are we our disciples of Jesus? And this is where it becomes so important, because we can't pass on what we don't have. We can't pass on our faith if it's not growing in us. One of the things that I love sometimes seeing online, and my daughter-in-law, she sent me a video. They had a Good Friday service out at a park in Woodstock, Georgia, and my granddaughter was outside, and she was just singing the song, and she was just lifting her hands, and somebody sent it to me, and I felt like, wow, even at 2.5, 3 years old, she's watched, and she's learned what to do when songs of praise to God have been playing. She learns to lift her hands. Why? Because she sees her daddy lift his hands, and she sees her mommy lift her hands, and she hears us singing all the time. God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than... She's learning songs about Jesus, but we have to know how to pass that on, and this is where discipline comes in. It comes to play with our parenting on purpose. And once the goals have been established, now we discipline ourselves to teach the way and to walk in the way. We discipline ourselves to teach the way to our children. And we can't teach what we don't know, but we also have to walk in the way. And it's a big thing for our kids that we practice what we preach. The question is the life that we demonstrate in front of our children, drawing them closer to God or turning them off? Real talk. This is the hard stuff we have to talk about and we have to learn when it comes to our children. There was this time where I used to have these things with my boys, and I would sit them down and I'd say, hey, I want to be a great mom, so I'm giving you permission. Tell me, how am I doing? Respectfully, tell me how I'm doing. And I didn't even ask to have that so that I could give them my feedback, because I had plenty of feedback. But it's like, how am I doing? My son's like, Mom, you serious? You really want me to tell you? He's probably about 13 at the time. I said, yeah, whatever you want, whatever you see, I want you to tell me respectfully. He said, you're a hypocrite. Did you? I had to catch myself for a second. You know, I'm a what? You're a hypocrite. Oh, okay, all right. Can you explain? It was so simple. He said, you know, you get on me all the time about making up my bed. But look at your bed. And in my mind, I'm thinking, boy, I pay for this house. I pay the rent. I pay for the food. Like, how dare, in my mind, I am going in on this boy. But in his eyes, I was a hypocrite because I wasn't practicing what I preach. If you want your kids to be kind and respectful, they should be seeing kindness and respectfulness. They should be seeing that in us. And I had to own it. I had to eat that. I was like, you know, you're right. Okay. So I made a deal with him. I said, let's both work on this. You work on it and I work in it. And I put $20 down. I said, at the end of the week, whoever makes up their bed consistently this week gets this $20. And he respected that. And it builds trust and relationship with our kids, but it also makes me accountable to the life I'm living in front of them. Even when they're little, I hated Atlanta traffic when we moved to Atlanta. Couldn't stand it. I grew up in a really small town, and it stressed me out. And I don't cuss, but I say words. And one of the words I would always say was idiot. Like, if somebody cut me off, I'm like, idiot. And my kids would be in the back. He was probably 5 years old. But this one day, I had prepared myself for the chaos of Atlanta traffic. And I'm in the car, and I'm chilling. I got music playing, and somebody cuts me off. And I didn't say a word. But my five-year-old, idiot! I was like, oh, man. They're sponges, and they soak up everything that they see us do. So we have to walk in the way that we want to see our children walking in. So they should see the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. If you want your children to be loving, you have to display love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness. And this is my favorite one, self-control. That's a toughie. But if your kid is out of control, I mean, you just ask yourself, am I out of control? Is my kid cussing out his teacher? Does my kid hear me cussing? It ain't. I'm sorry. It's right here. It's all the Bible. It's not me. Don't get mad. But as followers of Jesus, this is what we are to do. And we discipline ourselves this way. And there's so many scriptures that support me. I'm just saying, Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Proverbs 13:24, whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. It's the Bible, it's not me. Proverbs 29:15. I love this one. To discipline a child produces wisdom, but a mother is disgraced by an undisciplined child. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness, I like this one too. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Can I get an amen? But the rod of discipline will remove it far from him. This is biblical wisdom. And nobody's telling you to beat your child. Please don't leave here and say, April said, whoop your kid. I did not say that. Correction. Narrow the path. Create boundaries. Follow through on what you say you're going to do. Set them. Teach them and tell them why. Oh my gosh. Tell them why. Because that matters. Why can't I go to this concert? My son asked me to go to an R. Kelly concert when he was 14. That was an easy no. He's like, why can't I go? My friends are going. Sit down. Let's have a conversation. Let me teach you some stuff you don't know yet. And we had to talk. And I know it's not popular. You got to teach your kids to be unpopular. Ooh, that's tough. Are we teaching our kids to be other and to be okay with being other? No, you're not going to walk the same way your friends walk. Are we teaching them to have standards? All of that matters. And this comes with discipline, not necessarily whipping, but correcting. Correction is key. And no is a viable answer to any question. It said, don't spoil your kid. Don't say yes all the time. These simple things are God's way. And so acknowledge that your kids are not yours. Number two, parent on purpose. And lastly, very simply, trust God. Just trust him. You cannot parent alone. Even if you're a single parent, you're not alone. God is with you. And the Bible tells us that he has given us everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness. He has given it to us. For those who are followers of Jesus Christ, his spirit, the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, is inside of us, and it gives us the strength to do the hard work. And it's hard, I know, I get it. And even when they become adults, it's challenging. You have to watch them make bad choices. And sometimes you have to let them make that choice so that they understand what those repercussions are. But then you're there displaying love and grace and mercy and forgiveness. Not enabling, but encouraging and setting boundaries. All of those things. But we have to trust that God has a plan for them, even if things don't go the way you expect. I'm sure my parents did not expect their 16-year-old daughter to come to them and tell them she was pregnant. I'm quite sure they did not expect that. But when I told my parents I was pregnant, I was laying on the floor and I was crying my eyes out. And my father, who I love immensely, who's the favorite man in my life outside of my husband, he held me till I stopped crying. He never asked me a question. He never scolded me. He didn't do any of that. He held me until I stopped crying. And then he went with me to my appointments. He was there when I had my son. He was the first one to hold him. And when we dedicated him at church, he held him up like Simba in the Lion King. And he fathered my fatherless child. And he loved me. He supported me going to college. He supported me raising my sons. He supported me moving to Atlanta. And now, I ain't all that, but I ain't that bad. Because my parents trusted God with me, even when I failed, even when I messed up. They trusted the seeds that were planted, and they continued to water even when the storms came. They continued to pour out and give wisdom and support. And I watched my parents be loving and kind and gracious and good and faithful and operate in self-control. I watched them, and I prayerfully I passed these same things on to my kids. And I got to sit with them at 30 and 28 years old last night, just laughing, having a great time, talking about life and marriage, all the things. The fruit of your labor is worth it. So trust God. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean or depend on your own understanding. Seek him. Seek his will in all that you do, and he will show you which path to take. That is an anchor text. It's true when it comes to parenting your children. Trust God. Seek him, and he will guide you. I know there's a lot of advice out there, and it's not all bad, but if it steers away from the book that we let be our anchor in our text and our guidance in life, then just let it go and trust God. They belong to him. Parent them on purpose and trust the God who gifted you his inheritance. Amen? Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to teach this, to encourage other parents who are trying their best to walk this out your way. And Lord, I know it's challenging. You knew it was going to be challenging. You had parents, Jesus, you had parents when you were here. You also had purpose, and your parents understood your purpose. They understood that while you came to them and they had the opportunity and the responsibility to raise, they knew that they had to let you go. And the same is true for each and every one of us. So God, give us the strength and the courage to acknowledge that these gifts that you've given us are stewardship seasons to be handed back to you, to build up your kingdom, to advance your mission in the world. However you see fit for them to do, help us to trust you implicitly with our kids, especially when we're confused and they're confused. And let our lives be a demonstration of your goodness and your faithfulness and your mercy and your love. Help us, Father. And when we need help, help us to seek that help. But let us not go out before coming to you and trusting your word. You have never failed, and you never will. We bless you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.